each year, Purple Tuesday comes around, and it's all about people with disabilities. They're pound spend, if you like, although it is global. But there's a bigger story to it around accessibility to services and indeed receiving good service as well. Gavin Neitz is with us from Neatbox. Gavin, you're a big advocate for Purple Tuesday. Is it getting bigger? Are the calls getting bigger each year, do you think?
It's a big celebration, not only of what people are doing right now, but what they've done all through the year. And then, of course, looking forward to what they're going to be doing in the coming year.
Do you think service providers, businesses are actually starting to understand about accessibility for customers?
Well, this is a big question. And I think you kind of have to really split the world up or the country up into the individual companies. And the companies themselves have to change the working practices. The DNA of the company has to change slightly. And that is down to management, but it's also down to front of house. The problem is, of course, that front of house in so many different organizations changes quite considerably. And you can have seasonal work in an art gallery or a tourist site or a hotel. And that seasonal work can then suddenly disappear and you're kind of back to square one, unless it's in the DNA of the organization. And I think a lot more CEOs and senior management teams are aware of their responsibilities, but they're aware that the responsibilities aren't just a corporate social responsibility. One in five people in the population are living with a disability, but you can't possibly say that one in five of your customers are disabled, because they're probably not. And I say customers, it could be retailer, so commercial gain, but it could be national health, or it could be any kind of health services or museums or art galleries and the like. These are all venues that are delivering customer service. So having accessibility, digital accessibility, is massively important. And then, of course, at the building itself needs to be accessible. So even beyond that, it's how aware of disability are the staff members. So it's not just one aspect, it's all aspects. And I think increasingly society is understanding more about disability and understanding more about hidden disability. So there's a real need for human understanding of disability as much as all the other aspects I mentioned there.
If we look at the retail side of things and are providing products and services that people pay for, the Purple Tuesday is there because the Purple Pound, I think we talk about this figure quite a lot, Gavin, it is a huge figure globally.
And it was around about $8 trillion worldwide, but in the UK alone, it's around about $274 billion, and that was taken a couple of years ago, so it's no doubt even more than that. And I think in retail, it's around about £16 billion per year spent by disabled people on goods and services, and that's impossible to ignore. In fact, those who ignore it do so at their peril. The question, of course, is how do you not ignore it? And I'm saying it in a very positive sense. How can you make sure that you know about it? And therein lies the challenge. It's the education and the understanding, the knowledge of knowing how to interact when you do need to interact. And I think that's key.
That customer service, or that good customer service, is what, I suppose, ignited your interest in creating something which not only customers can use, customers with disabilities can use, but service providers, retailers can use to provide better service, to understand their customers better, and crucially, doing that very quickly and very timely.
Yeah, it was something that I was very aware of, and people who don't know me, I used to work for Guide Dogs the Blind as a mobility instructor, and I would always watch how service teams interacted with my clients. I would stand back and then observe, and I was always thinking to myself, oh, why didn't they introduce themselves? Why are they trying to talk to my client's guide dog? Why are they taking my client's arm instead of offering their arm? And that's around training and the timeliness of training. And that then was, I left Guide Dogs the Blind and I started Welcome, which was the ability to train people based on the disabled person's proximity to the building. So it couldn't be more timely. If you have been given training half an hour before you meet the person you need to interact with, then you're much, much better prepared to give that service provision in a way that's useful to them. And that, I think that's the future. Proximity-based staff training, I believe, is the future.
So someone who has the Welcome facility, then, they can put in their information about their disability or whatever. They can say where they want to go and find out if where they are going has the welcoming stuff there as well. And it gives the staff, I suppose, a heads up when someone is coming in, tells them about their disability, what they're in for, and you know, the best way to interact with them as well and provide that first-class service. There's a win-win there for both.
We recognise very early on people don't want to necessarily talk about their disability, in inverted commas, so they can say, I just want you to have a discreet, a general awareness that I may be a disabled person, and I want you to be just a little bit more aware of how I act and how I communicate. And of course, that's the sort of basic foundational work that we deliver. However, we also understand that sometimes it's useful to be able to say to somebody that you have Tourette's or that you maybe have epilepsy. And just recently, we launched the service with 40 curry stores across the West Midlands and across London. And we're nominated in two categories in the Retail Innovation Hub Technology Award for Innovation. We weren't nominated, Currys were nominated for their use of Welcome. So I believe it's growing, and this is the kind of publicity that's going to help people realise that it's available.
If the staff then have access to Welcome.me, then it makes them more confident, and it then makes the experience for the customer more confident, because they may be quite apprehensive about going in somewhere, perhaps even for the first time. Am I going to have to explain things again? Am I going to get the service that I'm looking for? So there's a huge bonus there for the staff as well as the customer.
Yeah, it has to be 360 degree. I think there's a lot of focus on what the staff member can do to help the disabled person. But with Welcome, what we're doing is we're helping the staff member. We're not just helping the disabled person. And I think there has to be a recognition that if the staff member feels happier and more comfortable communicating with the disabled person, that's going to be good for them as an individual, as a person. And of course, many staff members, hopefully and increasingly, are disabled themselves. So having an understanding of the needs of a disabled client when you're disabled can be incredibly useful. And we just want staff to be better at doing their job, because we know that they'll be better at their job and they'll be happier doing their job.
When you started out with this, I think you started with some smaller retailers, and you've gone through, well, a whole range of not just retailers, but service providers, transport providers, government services as well. So the message is getting out there, but is it a bit of a slow burn?
It was. It's gathering pace. We started out very early on, back in Edinburgh. I think we had about 5 different venues at the very start. We're now up at around 240 venues, with more joining us all the time. Just recently, Silverstone Museum in Buckingham launched, and the other day, Whiteley Wind Farm near Glasgow launched, and that's a museum for sustainability. So we've got more venues joining us in every single different sector. City of Westminster Council put it in, I've now got in 39 venues, I think, all of their libraries and all of their leisure centres now offer Welcome. So it's growing very, very quickly. Key for us is that disabled people tell us where they want it. So we're not just sort of picking places at random. If somebody says, we want this in IKEA, we want this in Sainsbury's, we want this in my local library or leisure centre or swimming pool, then we will approach those venues and say, well, look, we've got a service that can help you. And I think that's key. I love Nothing About Us Without Us, which is a hashtag out there, and it's about the disabled people deciding what they want and how that can be delivered. And we just want to go where people want us.
So key for you then is not you going to people and saying you should have this. You're really looking for the customers to say to you, we want this here, and they're kind of taking part. So they're almost part of the solution.
Oh yeah, definitely. And increasingly, we've actually got, when we started, there was a lot of cold calling, and we were phoning up people and saying, we've got this amazing service, this is going to help you give better customer service. And they would say, well, we're already doing really good customer service, because there was no recognition of maybe where they could improve. And it's always hard to understand a new innovation. But increasingly now, we've got people contacting us. And that's the massive change. As people hear about it and then contact us, the ball will just roll faster and faster down the hill. Well, it's a snowball, isn't it, in this situation? I think it's going to gather a lot of snow. And hopefully that will then gather pace to an extent where it will just be everywhere.
Is the feedback good from the people who are, I'm thinking more of the businesses themselves or the local government, etc. Is the feedback good? Are they noticing a difference? Are their staff more confident?
Yeah, so obviously when we started it, we were focusing on what disabled people felt about it. And there's a super video out there about some disabled people visiting Currys and saying how different it was for them in a very positive sense. But we've made a very big point of talking to staff members and finding out how it's helping them as well. It takes a little bit of time some in certain environments for staff to go, wait a second, I kind of know what I should be doing. And then realizing that actually they don't, or that they could be better. And then we generally get people saying, well, thank you very much indeed. This is amazing information that I just wasn't sure about. If you can get 5 top tips on how to interact with a guide dog owner before you meet that guide dog owner, you're going to avoid making a few faux pas. And those people who are a bit more aware of making faux pas are thinking to themselves, yeah, I'm avoiding them now, and they're thanking us for that. So, yeah, hopefully, we will just keep improving both sides of the coin.
I think for me as well, as someone who is blind, a guide dog user and a cane user, if I receive good customer service somewhere, the message goes out, and I find that with other people as well, you will hear on the grapevine of good service, you'll also hear about bad service as well. So it's almost like free advertising and free marketing if they get it right.
Yeah, and I kind of get a bit frustrated sometimes because I think the media, for understandable reasons, focuses in on bad service. Bad does seem to sell a lot more papers or gets a lot more likes or tweets or retweets or whatever it might be. But I think the good service is more word of mouth. So somebody might say, oh, I went such and such a place and it was really good service. And that encourages the other person to go. It might not get so far in the world of social media in which we live. But I think that word of mouth of people saying, oh, I went there, and if you use this, then you can actually let them know how best to help you when you arrive. I think that's where we're spreading. And I much prefer that positive word of mouth. It takes longer. It feels a bit more underground, but I think it's more effective in the long term.
Well, let's hope that snowball keeps on growing. Gavin, if people would like to find out more about Welcome, then how can they do that?
Well, they can search for me on LinkedIn, and that's very easy to do. It's just Gavin Neate, N-E-A-T-E. But if they want to go to our website, they can find more about Welcome at wel-co.me, or look up Welcome customer service on their Google and they're going to find it.
Gavin, thank you very much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
A real pleasure, and everybody have a good Purple Tuesday.